Would you like to know more? Would you like to know more?
Welcome to the What Mr. Podcast, episode 131 with Paul and Barry.
Hello, listeners. How are you?
They're all great. They're all loving it. Probably the last one of the year. Probably.
Yeah, probably.
Realistically. Yeah. We're halfway through December. Monday 16th.
Yeah.
Been a little while since we recorded, I think.
Yeah, well, I had a week of booked leave, and that was spent up in Liverpool.
Lovely. Beautiful.
Yeah. You got to do these things. I have to do it regularly. Yeah, you got to do these things. Yeah, so it was done. Yeah,
the new Tory heartland, although not Liverpool, I'm pretty sure that...
aside from London, that's all there is, isn't there?
Well, so that's pretty much all there was anyway.
That's all there is now. Yeah, the what did they call it? The red wall has been broken. I've not heard.
Blown up. They sent in the berserkers with the grenades. And that's the end of it.
And you were like, and Corbyn was up on the walls, going like, "Bring him down!
Bring him down! Aim for the neck!"
Yeah, it's not stopping him.
Oh, it's all gone. Anyway, so on the plus side, if you can find a plus side, stuff will get going.
Is there a plus side?
Well, whatever blockage there was is now going to be fucking cleared away. Because there ain't no stopping what's coming.
No.
Apparently, the last time there was a majority this big,
was
Thatcher.
Yeah.
And for the Labour, it was Tony Blair. And those were the following few years were like... Yeah. Landmark years.
Basically,
you've got carte blanche to do whatever the fuck you want now. You want to get the Brexit deal done by the weekend, it's done.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he is in a position where he can say, this is the new law. Any of the Conservatives don't vote for it, I'll sack you.
They're all signed up in advance. Yeah. Things like, you know, if you want to get rid of the BBC, get rid of the fucking BBC. Nobody's there to stop you. Who's going to stop you? Yeah. It's not like America where you've got a second chamber that can kind of rein back on the first chamber. There was nothing.
But that's why Trump won't get impeached.
Won't get impeached. It doesn't matter. We've got a House of Lords, but that's just a revision chamber. This majority is massive. And if Scotland leave, the fact it's like, yeah, whatever.
Mm.
I'm just going to have to... If you can't change the world, change yourself, sir. Or something.
I mean, we can't go... I mean, obviously, it's been a massive week in politics, because of the general election.
Yeah.
And we have been criticised for talking too much politics
have we?
In this podcast.
Well, there won't be any more talk of Brexit. That's done.
But it's...
When you consider how close that vote was, 48-52, and I know there was probably a lot of pent-up frustration with the impasse and all the shenaniganry. Mm. I thought they fucking delivered a hammer blow. It was like a baseball bat.
I didn't expect it to be that overwhelming. You know, it was wow. Like, you know, the exit poll came in and it was like, that's pretty shocking. And it turned out to be pretty close.
Well, they always are pretty close. Oh, yeah. But anyway, so there we go. I better get used to doing my customs forms for Europe, because that's coming.
You better get used to wearing blue.
Mm-mm. Customs forms are a pain in the arse, but I have to do them. So, normal politics.
Yeah.
Normal politics.
Yeah. Too depressing.
Mm-hmm. Unless you're a blue blood, then
happy days. Crack on, sir.
Crack on. Beyond reproach. Yeah. So what else we got to talk about in the wide world? Paul's going to have a lot. I mean, realistically, even with everything that's been going on, you've been up a lot. I mean... Even if we keep the painting down, there's still going to be a lot of stuff.
No, I mean, it's been cool. Like, so what I've been in the fortunate position recently is I've been able to focus on a project at a time. So, and with this week away spent in the in-laws, that's like, there's been quite a lot of time to paint.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, including one night where Hannah went out and I stayed home with the kids. So what you have on the table here is a bolt action army, you know, Italians.
Weird scale. Is it like 25mm or something?
No, apparently they're 28. They're Warlord Games.
But maybe they're like true 28 or something, because GW standards,
Exactly. Yeah, they're not Space Marines. And so I've painted them in desert colours, and they have those cockle feathers in their hats that marks them out as the Italian elite.
Well, you've got to paint them a decent colour, haven't you? What are they going to be?
Yeah. No, they were black. That's the colour they were.
They look a bit in black. So.
Well, yeah, but that's what the colour. That's historical.
Yes, but I mean, it's very difficult to paint black well.
Well.
So you need to do quite a lot of work on them to make them look.
Yeah, like
they just look undercoated.
Yeah, but that's all they are. But like,
well, that's what they look like.
But, like, but the point is of World War II stuff is you call it painting, but there's no, it's uniforms. There's no, you could spend, but basically these kind of stuff is you can spend ages more on them for a little more effect because it's just a few different shades of khaki around the uniform.
Well, I'm telling you, a bit of dry brushing grey on that black would go a long way.
Well, whatever. Like, stop focusing. You don't paint. And like,
I like this tank
done. That's a terrible. Is their tank they had, but it's a terrible tank in the game.
Yeah, but he's done some weathering, some washing, all kinds of stuff.
No, exactly the same techniques as the men.
Yeah, but there's nothing here just with the base coat on it. Everything's got more.
But that's the only thing that has the base coat there is your bloody feathers in the hat.
And it stands out because it's right on the top of the fucking head.
You're never happy.
You're right, sir. Is this freehand or you've been doing, like, transfers?
There's transfers on the turret. Okay. And this is the thing I'm working on next. This Sevatoya, which is a self-propelled gun. Yeah.
Nice.
Obviously based, because I like to base things. You don't have to in the game. Those are based. Yeah, and
the motorbike teams look cool.
Yeah, they're not as good models. They're from a different company, because Bolt Action doesn't do Italians on bikes. Vespers.
And I'm guessing, physics-wise,
yeah.
But there's something wrong with the wheels, because they don't appear to have spokes
or anything.
Well,
yeah, but they're not that well cast, are they?
Like, So how do the wheels work? There's just got a bit of rubber floating in
magic.
The air.
Magic.
Italian magic.
Italian magic.
There's no spokes in the fucking
wheels. Yeah, because the models don't have that. Like.
Okay, fair dinkum.
Anyway, but there's a second order coming in to, because that army there is the full-size army that you play, but you have different skill levels of soldiers. So right. That's if you play them all as veterans, which actually Berlusconi are supposed to be. Because they're good Italians. Now, when I play Italians in World War II, I don't want my troops to be good. I keep them because their equipment's terrible, and it's like plays more to them just to, like, you know, like en masse. So I've ordered quite a few more.
So you're playing like Russian conscripts,
I'm going to play them like that. Like Italians that way. Because there's nothing stopping you, because the game's quite. The rules are very open for that. Yeah, in that sense. And it's cool. It's a cool little game system. As I said, like it's like a early version of 40K. That's what
it is. Is it scratching
like.
Your Flames of War itch, or is it a different type of game?
I mean, it's, well, where Flames of War is a company, isn't it? Like, based off Bolt Action is, you only have one tank in most lists. So you can't have, like, you know, it's predominantly, it's infantry, well, infantry platoons going against other armoured reinforced platoons.
Right, so you got like three platoons and some support,
I guess. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it's cool. It for Bolt Action, it's managed to represent the what these weapons actually do pretty well, I think. Like, use a mortar to suppressing fire, and you have killing zones where you fix machine guns down. And that's quite.
Do you have to track ammo like that game?
No, you don't. I mean, it doesn't go that detailed. Like, that's just madness.
That was madness.
That's just unnecessary madness. Because you need complexity, but not that much complexity.
So I'm looking here in my hand, you've got Warhammer Underworld's Beastgrave.
Yeah.
The Grimwatch.
Yeah, yeah. So,
who the fuck are the Grimwatch?
The Ghouls.
Ghouls.
So I'm playing in, well, rather randomly since we last recorded, Ben, who was my long-time friend, wants to go play in the Grand Clash, which is the big event at Warhammer World, and there's still tickets available, so we're going.
Is that a good thing? That there's still tickets available?
No,
because on the flip side, The Lord of the Rings sold out in about 3 minutes.
That's precisely the point. Now I wanted to play in the Lord of the Rings Grand Tournament. I've been waiting for the dates for that for ages.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed up the dates and they said, oh, these are on sale in a week's time at midday.
Mm-hmm.
They were sold by 12:30.
Right.
I was trying to get online to buy them and you couldn't
get online.
You couldn't. The website wasn't allowing you to buy the tickets. So that is obviously fantastic for that game system. Though I imagine that tournament isn't total isn't huge because they reduce their tables up there. So I think it's probably only like 100 players.
So Warhammer World?
Yeah, because they don't have they've cut their table spaces down quite a bit.
If they're only playing in the main hall, it can't be more than about 100 players.
About 100 players.
100 and,
but
yeah, yeah.
It was sold. You couldn't physically buy the tickets. I was trying.
Well, this is, you probably get twice as many players because the tables are small.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So River Snarfangs, who are these fellows? Goblins.
They're three Wolf Riders.
Goblin
Wolf Riders.
Goblins.
Yeah.
That's a whole team.
Three Wolf Riders.
Shit, they must be good.
They're quick.
You've got four Stormcast, didn't you?
Yes, you can, yeah.
So these are
three Stormcast.
Is it only three? Yeah. So, maybe. Mm-hmm. Quick. Mm-hmm. Quick is good.
But the Warhammer Underworlds is, because it's into its third season and the way it's decided to do it, very Magic the Gathering, in it, cycling of cards.
Right.
That's gotten really, to me, that's gotten really interesting. Because the diversity.
Have you lost all the first season there?
Aside from the generics, the uniques to the warbands.
Oh shit! So you lost the generics and kept the uniques.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
is big.
Yeah. No, but it had to be. It had to happen. It had to. That made the game much more interesting.
There's pros and cons. Obviously, the pros are it kind of makes the meta different.
Yeah.
Each year or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
The cons are that the buy-in is constant.
True, but I mean, what I would say to that is each one of those warbands is not expensive. Now, you don't have to own everything. It depends what.
I'm not worried about the warbands, I'm worried about the cards.
Yeah, well, that's what you say, the cards come with the warbands.
The generic cards.
Yeah, generic cards come
with the warbands. Yeah, but generic cards are spread across all of them.
I mean, what they tend to do is they do generic card pack in addition to. Say they're going to do six warbands this season.
Mm.
They then do a separate generic pack as well, which has more cards in it.
Okay, that would make sense.
But I mean,
because otherwise you'd have to buy a core set for each season, and then all six expansions for each season.
If you think it's that important to have every single card option,
if you want to go to a tournament, you can't.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
hamstring yourself.
Well, but you don't know what you don't know, is it? I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm probably going to lose every game. Yeah. Something they have changed is that I do like the way they've changed. So you get enough unique cards to play a warband just with its unique cards. You know, the 10, 10, 12?
Yeah.
You know, so there's the way that since Season 3, every warband has 10, 10, 12 unique cards. So you could just play that if you wanted to. It's not going to be the best build ever. But it's a build, and it's not the worst.
Okay.
And it will, at the very least, it would teach you how this warband.
So you're telling me if I didn't have anything else, which I don't have because I sold out, I could buy a warband.
That's in season three now.
So whatever that is, like 15 quid, whatever. Not much at all. And that comes with enough cards and the models to play a game.
Yes.
Yeah,
and then
cheap buy.
And then anything else beyond that is your choice.
So if you were playing casually, you could just buy a box seat, just as long as somebody's got some boards, you crack on.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's a good buy. Yeah. Well done. Well done then.
I mean, don't get me wrong, it's like, you know, sadly, there's not many people down the club playing it at all. But I'm probably going to end up going to this tournament with no practice games. But it's, I'm going skiing with Ben in February.
Of course you are.
And we're,
as well as we're going to Bruno in February. Yeah, busy month for you.
And that's the game that me and him will be playing a lot. You know, like on the, you know, après ski.
Après ski.
Yeah. So, and there's enough, basically there's enough diversity in there to get, you know, to make it interesting.
And the games are quick enough.
Yeah, exactly. It's always best 2 out of 3. Yeah, like, situation. Yeah. So that and that.
War in Rohan?
Yeah, I picked up that. Yeah, so
did you get the dice and cards?
No, God, no. Like, that is funny. You know, like, especially when you see someone on eBay selling their own custom dice, which look just the same, just as good, and people won't buy them.
No, they're not official.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny the froth of some of the Middle Earth community.
But now you get to the stage, right? This has happened a lot with Magic. Right, so Magic stores get given product that they can sell way above MSRP.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what they do is they sell them well above MSRP or whatever. So if these dice are 12 quid, I'm only selling them for 12 quid because I can charge 30 quid for them.
Because
if I don't charge you 30 quid, you're going to buy them off me and sell them for 50 quid. So we might as well share it. So what's started to happen now is people have placed orders with stores and they're cancelling them.
Well, they're...
They say, "Oh, we didn't get our stock."
Yeah. which is strange business model, isn't it? Like, so because the limited stock items, where so like limited dice, like they don't, yeah,
or cards or whatever.
Cards or whatever.
It used to be magic cards, didn't it, for Warhammer Fantasy?
Yeah, yeah.
They used to do magic cards that sold out in like a millisecond.
Yeah, and then the independent store, like you pre-order them on the independent store, you end up getting that order refunded because they don't get the stock in, like that they were promised.
Or they claimed not to get the stock.
Or they claimed not to, and then it's a real pointless exercise. You end up without the thing, and they don't end up with your money. So I don't get it really. I don't follow that. It's like okay, but what I do know is that for the supply that they're giving Middle Earth, like only 2-3 tournaments in Warhammer World a year, the pace they're selling them out at, that only has to make you think, oh, perhaps we should do more. Perhaps we should, like, because there's enough of an appetite out there that, like, if we put on the market 100 tickets for this event and it's gone 30 minutes later when other events don't sell out,
yeah,
you know, that has to make you shut up and listen to the events team there, surely. Yeah.
But there's always been a lot of pent-up desire for playing this game.
Yeah.
I've had it for like 20 years. Yeah. It must be 20 years now, this game.
Yeah, no, exactly. Especially because the thing is people, I guess people appreciate, like, you know, TLC. And that's what I described. The TLC in these, and this is what we're talking about here, is the latest expansion of War in Rohan, which is nothing new because they're in the series on the shelves there. You can see, you know, the previous... You know, like
versions. Yeah, I'm sure you'll find most of the scenarios kicking around.
Probably
in these
would
old
do.
Books,
yeah, probably would do. But the TLC put into these books since this edition, a year old edition, the 2018 edition, it just shines through that they have people making this love the material, and that, I guess that responds well in sales. I guess they've. Well, there's a point where they've gone on Warhammer TV, which is on Twitch, you know, and where you, like, they do interviews with the designers and or during the game Middle Earth games, like they're too genuine to be fake. They're not actors. They're not pretending. Not saying some like party line to cunningly improve sales or something.
Right.
It's like no. They genuinely like purposely like design, make it thematic. Like they want you to use lists that are straight out of a movie scene, and they tinker with the rules until they can get that combination viable. Not the best thing, like,
yeah, but you don't want them completely balls broken.
But they tinker with them until they can get it, like, so it's not, you'll see it on the table, because their criticism of previous editions of the game is you never saw you never saw things from the movies on the table because there was no penalties to mixing your forces, and there was no penalty, and they weren't the best things.
Like, yeah, but before they started this new set of books, when it was just the rule books and the army books, there was no way to have Aragorn and the dead.
No, because they knew that they would be, when these books came out,
and people were frustrated, and now you see why they did it that way.
Yeah,
and let's put it, no.
Like, so in this Warhan Rohan one, they've done a legendary legion of Dunland. Which is basically the people that, when the Rohirrim were given this land to live in by Gondor, because they helped them out back in the day, the people who lived there were called Dunlendings, and they were like, well, you've got to get out of here.
And they were also came back and raped and pillaged.
Yeah. Like, they're a bit wild. They're a bit like, we will die for Saruman. You know, like, and they've done some new sculpts for them, and they've done a legendary legion list, and so you can play Dunland if you want to. And it's like, you don't need a lot in a... options in a Middle Earth list to make it an army. You need some infantry, you know, armored infantry, light infantry, elite infantry, a cavalry option, some heroes. That's all you need. You know, like that's a faction.
That's cheap as well. The game is cheap.
And it
scratches that high fantasy itch.
Yes, it does.
Because there's no Warhammer Fantasy now. And I ain't playing Age of Sigmar
until. What, the old 5 years? 5 years
back. This is scratching the itch.
Yeah.
You get to kill your elves. I love killing elves.
Yeah, definitely. They judge good. But the quality that GW puts out of the new models, they look, it's the same. They massively outshine the old stuff. Like, so in that War in Rome book, they've done a couple of new Rohan characters and stuff, and they look way better than the rank and file guys that were made 20 years ago.
I hope they keep them in scale.
Yeah, of course they have. Yeah.
Yeah, well, they don't always.
No. Well, they have in Middle Earth, but it's just like I don't. They're not going to go back and redo stuff like that's already out there.
Because the trees are in here. And I talked to you about this today. Yeah, so you've got Treebeard with Merry and Pippin, and he's metal.
Yeah.
And he's only available in metal steel, 35 quid or whatever he is. And then you've got the new plastic Ents, who are fucking massive compared to him.
Yeah.
Massive.
They don't look. Yeah, I mean.
And you can't have these five Ents dwarfing Treebeard.
Yeah,
it just looks ridiculous.
It doesn't look right,
So, I'm using a metal army, the Eric metal army.
Which because they did other versions of Ents, older ones, didn't they?
Yeah, metal.
Yeah.
And that's the only game I've played, but I'll talk about that in a bit.
So, games wise, what else have I done? Played. So I'm in the Blood Bowl League as well, and that's it's ticking along.
Of course it is.
Yeah, like, my poor Skaven are going to suffer next game. My team value's gone down again. You're like,
So you're not winning this one?
Well, no, I don't have to. Basically, after you've played these 14 games, because there's 14.
You go to the one day tournament.
The top eight will go to the one day tournament, and they fix your team. At the state it was at the end of game 14. So it's a long... Basically...
Well, you'll get to... Oh, jeez.
You don't have to win the league. Like, it's not...
Well, you have to have a team left.
Yeah, you have to have a team left. Yeah, totally. So it's like, at the moment, I'm like, there's no point replacing line rats.
No, never.
Because journey rats are just are fine. You know, like... They've learned
anything
don't want them to learn.
They ain't using any rerolls on them.
I'm saving up to induce... To hire in permanently star players, that's where I'm going. Because that's different. That's how this, that's how Blood Bowl's changed. Is what you can do.
Right.
So that's more fun. But next game, my Rat Ogre and a Storm Vermin, a Blitzer, are missing next game. So my team rating is low.
As for me, it's Monday night, which is a very rare occasion that I'm not doing something on Monday night. Because Monday night, for the last nearly 7 years, has been Magic Night.
Mm.
But... I can't get my magic club to fire, so I've put it on hiatus till next year.
Mm.
And apart from that, I bought a Star Wars Legion box set.
Yeah, why'd you do that?
Because I kind of like the Clone Wars era.
Right.
I don't find the...
But who do you intend to play it with?
Well, I was hoping more people had it than I imagined. Because I saw people down the club. I'm pretty sure Clarkie had it.
Yeah, but like...
Clarkie, I know he's flaky. And I think he may have been playing Ollie. I think this is a game I'm reminiscing about. Ollie against Clarkie. Mm-hmm. Who possibly the two most flaky players.
You picked a stable background there to go forth. Excellent.
That's your good self. I didn't like the Rebel Stormtroopers because that's lame. It just does. It never
the Rebel Stormtroopers.
No, the Rebels against Stormtroopers. That
that's
kind of
iconic.
That never really did anything for me.
All right. Okay.
Mass battle wise, because apart from Hoth, maybe.
Right. Okay.
But the Stormtroopers weren't really on foot, were they? Were in fucking giant artillery pieces.
Right. Okay.
In the main.
All right. Okay. Yeah. So.
And this game doesn't represent that.
No.
It's like platoon based and squad based stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the droids are kind of have their own like fun. To them. And the clones are cool. I love the clones. Yeah. The idea of the clones.
Well, they become the Stormtroopers. Order
66. I've only seen the films, right? So I was talking to Ollie and he was going on about all this fucking from the comics and the fucking books and the fucking...
So the clones of Order 66. The Clone Wars, so that they then become the Imperial Army. So after they wipe out the Jedi... And then it's the Empire.
Yeah.
That's who the Stormtroopers are, with the bloody clones.
Well, I'm not sure that can be true, because Finn's a clone, isn't he?
Yeah, over time, they start going back to, what are they called, natural birth Stormtroopers.
Right, okay.
So, but their initial masses that they needed, to like, oh, here's our army, ready to go, is clones.
Okay.
Right, that's why they're,
But they were cool.
Yeah.
Clones.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean...
Okay, again, they're a bit generic, aren't they? Because they're all the same.
They're incredible. They are the example of generic. Yeah. But, I would be willing... So, to answer your question, when Star Wars Legion came out as a game system and it had the two factions, that's the fucking problem with Star Wars games, is that there ain't enough factions. Now, there are in the fluff and, over there, but like it started out with two. Right, it's like I'd be interested. I'd be interested to see how do you balance Jedi in and Sith in this game system, because there's their power, like there's so much beyond the regular Troopers. How do you balance it? And I'd be interested to play it, to see it, but it needs a lot more factions out there to make it interesting. And I don't, I'm not a picture of it, but like, I don't know how many.
Lord of the Rings only used to have two factions.
What, good and evil?
That was it.
Yeah. But there's so much more, isn't there? Yeah, like, there's another 10 in there, that book for a start. Yeah, like, so it, and, I mean, I'll be willing to try it with you, but I'm not going to buy something.
Yeah, well, I bought it, but I haven't opened it.
Well, that's I'll use your stuff.
I ain't opening it till I've opened. So, they're not one pieces anymore. They're like proper sprue-driven stuff, and especially the droids. I think the biggest problem they're going to have is they're going to get people coming in from X-Wing and coming in from not playing any war games, and they're going to look at the build that you were moaning about your build on this fucking X-Wing you built.
You should
see the build on these droids.
Yeah.
It's like, this is pretty extreme. Like, even for me, I'm kind of like, I can build stuff, but this is going to take fucking forever. So I think that might put a lot of people off.
Yeah. But as we said before, X-Wing players are a different breed. That's a board game, really. You know, like, it's a different breed apart, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, what's your opinion on God Tier?
No, it's not really my scene.
Is it because it's a board game? You know, it's like, it's a board hybrid board game.
I'll have a look at it again. I really wasn't impressed with the Alpha. It reminded me of the field test for War Machine. It was just, you could never keep your fucking handle on it. Everything was changing every 10 minutes.
Now people's Kickstarters have arrived. And it's like, but...
Is there any terrain now? Because there was no terrain.
No, there's no. The game doesn't have terrain.
Yeah, that was another weird thing, wasn't it? There was some fucking elf with some lethal bow bollocks.
Yeah.
And there was no terrain. Well, what the fuck am I supposed to hide behind? My own dudes, just like, shields.
The thing is, with God Tier, is it'd be interesting to see what happens with that as a game system. Because right now it's very, very, it's the earliest of the early days.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's no organised play scene yet. But to play a game of God Tier, you basically make three choices. You choose three war bands. At the moment, there's no limitations.
There's no good, there's no evil, there's no anything. No, just no, wanging three
they're just,
together.
They're just types, like, what are they called? Like a shaper or whatever. Yeah. So it's like, basically, but there's no restriction on which three you choose. You can't choose the same one three times, I don't think.
No,
but,
you can't.
Yeah, but that's it. Now, these Kickstarters that come out have given you so much more than three options. But you don't need more, theoretically. Like, the box has a starting box set, two players, has two factions in it. You just buy another one, and that's all you'll ever, at the moment, all you need, if you're happy with those
three.
They
get different ones in them, do they? Are they random? Or you just get the same one?
No, it's like this two-player starter set has a faction A and faction B, and then I'll choose faction C off the shelf,
and
that's my three that I need to play any game.
I think most tournament games will have a best.
Oh yeah, of course. I mean,
best three.
I'm probably, but
and one of them will be that fucking bastard with the bow, that fucking elf.
Probably,
it was so obnoxious. I could not believe the one game I played. How fucking it's always an elf with the fucking bow that ruins the game.
But my point is that there's no other customization to it. So it's far more of a board game than it is a hobby than it is like a war game, because you only make three choices,
right?
And in those choices you don't then choose like what that guy's armed with or how many followers it has. They're fixed. There's just three choices you make. Obviously you paint up the models how you want them to paint them up, etc. But it'd be interesting to see, does that game system, where is it going to be in a year's time?
It's got its shiny butterfly phase.
It does,
all games.
Yeah,
then we'll see what happens in 18 months, 2 years, 3 years, exactly. Whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the only game I've played is I played against Ollie.
Mm.
And he was using, I can't remember, some fucking orcs. And I was using...
Oh, I know what you're talking about. The Legendary League, Gothmaw.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
And I was using the Six Endless.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the first time I won.
So it was at 800 points?
800 points.
Was there a scenario?
It was like kill.
So you were playing a scenario? Yeah, or you, like, just got, just, you got the one that luckily was just kill each other?
Kill each other.
Well, that's perfect for you, isn't it?
And you get more for damaging and killing the general than banners.
Which is perfect, because you've got tree beard.
Yeah, he's got banners. I don't have banners.
Yeah, so you get them first.
He's got obviously more stuff than me.
Yeah.
And he's got all his heroes have the heroic strike, so they can get the fight above the strike, fight of my ends, and then I'm goosed.
Yeah.
Because the only thing I can win on is my fight 7 for an end, and then rolling a 6.
Yeah,
if you can't beat fight 7 and roll a 6, you die.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if you beat my fight, and I don't, and then you roll a 6 or whatever, you're rolling like 9 dice, and I'm trapped most of the time.
Yeah.
So that's like
It's quite easy to get trapped, yeah.
Yeah, and you only need 3 wounds.
Yeah.
And you kill a tree.
Yeah.
But luckily, he couldn't roll a 6, and I killed 2 of his heroes, and Gorthmog is a bit of a wimp, and he's hiding at the back. Yep. But he does have a mad special rule that allows you to re-roll all wounds once.
Stingy.
So I think I lost, maybe lost 3 Ents, and then just.
I mean, the thing is, because that Ent list is all monsters, and it's very, what's the right word? I'm trying to think of it. It's very situational, like a stew list. Like,
it's very popcorn, mate. If you don't enjoy sitting there and rolling three dice and getting a six.
Exactly. Like so some of the scenarios you'd come up against, you can't win them.
Oh, it's awful.
Like the one that is run past each other. Get models off the table.
Good luck with
that. What are you gonna do? You can't possibly win that game. But others where it's like Contest of Champions, I think, where it's like your leader is put forward. Like, who's going to be a better leader than Treebeard? Like, raw fighting about it.
It's going to be hard.
Yeah. it's like, so you brought a generic captain, did you?
Rend.
Yeah, it's like...
I think my favourite bit was, I went first, and then I won initiative, went again. And I just stood still and waited for him to come to me.
Yeah.
And then I took out his troll, because he had a troll, with stones.
Throw stones at him.
Because those stones sting, yeah. And they're not that hard to hit.
You can't move.
But 4 to hit, 3 to wound, 3 of them, troll's dead. Didn't even get to break the lines. And then I thought, I shouldn't bother charging. Yeah. They've got to make terror tests to charge me, so just stand there, let them charge me. Let them charge me.
Yeah.
Just kill everything.
Well, if the scenario is the nothing else, then yeah, totally. I mean, what I'm saying is, if you took that event,
You can't take it to an event.
You couldn't win an event.
You can't take it to an event.
Yeah.
Because if you can't roll a 6, the game can be over like turn 2.
Yeah.
Because they just all die.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
They're all dead. And you only roll a 6 every other turn, other fight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's rough, man. But I mean, when it works, it's ridiculous. It doesn't matter what they're throwing into you. Cavalry, just eat them like Scooby snacks.
It sounds to me very much like taking an assassination list in a war machine, isn't it? You play your trick. If your trick's going to work, it does really well and you win the game. Like taking Kane 2, my entire build is to set up my attack, my assassination run.
And I'll just kill everything and build up a massive shot to kill your caster.
Basically, that's all he can do. Yeah. So that's all. That was what he's doing. And if he plays it off, yes, you've won the game in 2 turns, and that's it. If you never get the chance to press the button to smash the ace, then you lose the game. And it sounds to me like the Ents are like that for Middle Earth, where you turn up to an event and like, here's my good list, here's my evil list. Oh, I'm using the good list, and it's that scenario. Oh, I can't win that scenario. Yeah. Shake your hand. Let's have a game anyway. It's that scenario. Oh, that's what I can win against. Oh, because you might play it into an elite little evil army, where yours army, is like that.
What you hate? You can't fight like a mass, like you got
swarm.
Swarms of goblins. You can't do it. Yeah, yeah. It's just not
how
possible.
Would you do it? Like if you're playing Goblin Town, I've got 100 models. What have you got? 6.
And if you manage to get a goblin in, that's me done.
Yeah,
kill a goblin this time.
Yeah, I got it.
Well, Treebeard's got 9,000 goblins surrounding him.
You've
still got both all the scenario pieces while you've got 9,000 goblins around it.
It's like I cannot physically get through these bodies.
And the first time I don't roll a 6, I'm dead. Yeah, there's a million attacks.
Kinda, yeah. It's, but it's Yeah, be fun.
But the things that scare you normally, like cavalry, it's just...
Yeah, you laugh. No, they're perfect. That's what you want to fight.
They don't do anything, mate.
It's like smash.
You've got no rules.
Yeah, it's like, I am bigger than an infantryman, so I'll just pick you off that horse there, or warg, and I'll throw you into another warg, and like, go bowling. That's
lovely.
Love it.
Lovely.
Attention! If you need to get your miniatures safely from point A to point B, then get yourself a KR Multicase. KR Multicases come in all manner of different shapes and sizes and have gamer-friendly pricing. So do yourself a favour and get yourself a KR Multicase today. Soft foam, hard cases.
Section of today's podcast at the Winter World, the Winter Palace, is games we've been playing a lot in this year type thing.
Oh, okay.
Games we have played most in 2019.
Okay.
Because it is 2019,
isn't it? 2019.
The very end of.
Yeah. Well, luckily, my game planner here, list the games that like I have to hand at the moment. Obviously, this goes without saying that if I could get enough games of Warmaster, that is what I'd be playing. Like, you know, I play other game systems because, yes, I like painting as well, and like it's nice to try other things. But, you know, I'd rather be playing Warmaster. You know, but
you can't eat porridge every day.
No, of course not.
You need to mix and match.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So
I wish I could. I'm just caveating this with saying I wish I could get more games of Warmaster because.
Well, we're going to have to get a game of Ancients in at some point before the fucking 7th.
Because so.
It looks like it's Roman on Roman.
Oh, good.
Shenaniganry going on. I'm not sure that's ideal.
So, what I've been doing recently is I, you know, had a look again at the game systems that I do play, that I can play, and then making sure they get rotated. Like, if I haven't played a certain game system in a while, then I try to get one organised and play that.
If you can't get one organised, you just sell it.
Well, ultimately, yeah, that is. I mean, ultimately, if I just can't get a game of something at all, like of this game system at all, and not likely to either, because sadly, some of this is dictated by people you know and what they play.
Then
it's, why have you got it? It's just taking space unnecessarily, or it gets sold. And obviously, I'm pretty ruthless when it comes to that. But that is
eBay will answer to that. For
but
sure.
I am my hobby totals since 2018. I've gone hobby self funded. I've never had so much money. You know, at the moment since 2018. Counting all of 2018 and all of 2019, I'm still at plus 17,1715.
Yeah. That's pretty nuts, sir.
So there you go. Like, that's discounted.
What are you going to do with your money, Smaug? You're going to get married with it.
He's a faction in himself.
He probably is.
Yeah, he is. Like, he's 700 points. Yeah, like, Smaug is 700 points.
What do you do with him?
You've got one dragon, yeah.
Maybe I could use my Emperor Dragon. He's almost as big as fucking Smaug, isn't he?
You could if you wanted to, yeah. Like,
try a man.
Yeah, Smaug.
No.
Just take Smaug.
Smaug.
Can't allo with anybody, I don't think.
As long as you're not playing against fucking what's his face? Bard.
Bard.
Shit.
Shit.
With his black harpoon.
Yep. So, that also. And this just gives me a cap then on on the game system I've been playing. So, in no particular order, Middle Earth Strategy Battle Game, obviously. You know, like we're chatting about. That's really impressed me in the love that's been put into attention of that game system, and that's been really cool. Because it's very live at the moment, and there's more getting reintroduced into it, and more and earlier stuff done, and the fact that there's a tournament scene where you can't even get into—that's how popular it is.
That's pretty nuts, isn't it?
That's pretty, yeah. As in, like, it's not like there's not a tournament scene. You can't actually physically get into it, like some of the best, the biggest events. There you go. Necromunda. Necromunda is getting so bloated with more and more and more rules put into it.
Really?
Yeah. Oh my god. It's I don't know really what to think of it. But I did play recently a single standalone game of it, just a skirmish game. So not part of a tournament.
Oh, this was the one you ran, wasn't it? And you were the police. I am the law.
This was after that. Like played a guy, Stuart, down the club recently. He's a guy that's come to the club just to play Necromunda.
Cool. Hardcore.
And his table setup is fantastic. His 3D scenery, fully finished now, looks brilliant. I wanted to play him because he's a really nice guy, and I wanted to play on his table. So we just played a standalone game of it. And that was awesome. That was, like, good fun. Like, you know, because there was no progression, you didn't mind taking risks with your guys. And,
right.
And in fact, my Orlocks ended up beating the Enforcers long after I'd have run away in a campaign game, but I just kept hanging in there and kept passing bottle checks and ended up winning the game, which is like, well, I wouldn't have done that in a league game.
Because, yeah, you'd have been afraid of your team getting ruined.
Exactly. Yeah, like, which it probably still would have, yeah, like, it would have done, like, in relation. But I don't know what to do about Necromunda because, like, they did this really good scenery set recently, but they haven't sold it separately yet. So when it does get sold separately, like, I'm a fan of world building. Like,
so what's the problem at the moment? You'd have to buy the box game.
Yeah, which I don't need. You know, like,
because you've got everything already.
Well, yeah, because you don't have to use those two gangs in there, etc. But you can make a fantastic looking table with that stuff. Like, it's honestly some of GW's best work. Going. Blood Bowl. So I took part in. I'm currently in our club's Blood Bowl League because I knew it'd been a good number of years since we'd done one before, and Blood Bowl got re-editioned in 2016, the rules around it are much more interesting. I'm thinking because there's so much enthusiasm for it, it probably is going to then have another league later. Next time I'm going to take humans, and I'm literally going to do the thing that I wish everyone would do to make the whole game more
random.
Do random skills. Yeah, like every time I get a skill,
right.
I'll be like, oh, I've rolled a generic skill. I need a random selection, please, and that is what I'm going to have. Right. And make it work. Well, it is. I mean, I should have done it this time around, but I didn't.
Because you're scaven.
Yeah, I think the team that can stomach the most random, playing it totally random, is probably humans.
Probably
who are generic, who are meant to be the middle of the road.
Yeah.
Anyway.
What else have you been playing?
So, Warmaster, as we like, naturally.
Yeah.
You know, Bolt Action, which was a new game system for me this year.
Yeah.
I've played a couple of games of that, and that's currently on the hobby table.
Yeah.
Epic Armageddon. I love that game system, but there's it'd be nice to play another Epic event in 2020. That'd be cool.
Take another pasting.
Well, this time I'll probably take Guard this time, and Guard a lot more forgiving.
Right.
Yeah, I can just sit back.
Shoot.
Warhammer Underworlds, I really like that as a game system, though I've barely played it, though I am playing, as I said, like mentioned already, in this Grand Clash coming up. Batman miniatures game, I'm probably going to drop out of that, because they did the worst thing a game system can do, where they did another edition way too fast.
What do you mean, another edition?
So, Batman's by Knight Models.
Yeah, they're not normally that bad.
Well, they're not doing Marvel anymore. They lost that license.
They're doing Harry Potter or something.
Yeah, Harry Potter. And but they've done they've done a Batman edition. Third edition is
third.
Yeah, exactly. So the second's not even a year old, and they've done third. Sad, and it's quite different. Yeah, so it's...
What do you have to rebuy to keep it?
Well, that's the point, isn't it?
What do you have to rebuy? Just the rule books?
Stuff isn't being invalidated, but it's already... There's another version of Batman, another version of Joker, etc., etc. And it's a case where you would... If a game system is changing more editions than you can regularly play it, then that ain't good.
That's what I was trying to say about Gotti. Mm. Every week we went down to the club, and the people playtesting it, and it was like... Version 4.8. Yeah,
but that was because they were playtesting it. Fight finished.
I'll definitely give it a go.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Guild Ball stuff. Probably burned out of that, but I've still got all that stuff.
Right, okay. Well, fine.
I don't sell as quickly as you. Because, eventually everything comes around again.
Of course it does, yeah.
And then you have to buy it all again.
Well, suppose. Yeah, but like
you're Skaven. There's going to come a point in 5 years' time where you're going to your Bucket O'Skaven that
Bucket
you O'Skaven, sold.
Yes, yeah.
Painted Bucket O'Skaven. Yeah. You're going to wish you had them back.
But surely they would. I'd hope they redo Skaven models because those Skaven models were old then.
Well, Space Skaven.
Space Skaven.
I don't know if they're going to redo Space
Skaven. Yeah, but if the hobby itself doesn't cost you anything, what's the problem?
Well, it's the time. Paying as well. Yeah, they were paid.
Time is
meaningless to you. Meaningless to you. Yeah.
So then, carrying on. Game of Thrones, Song of Ice and Fire. Again, that's a game system for me that's maybe on the way out because it's really Simon have really struggled to get this game system out on shelves, out on shop shelves. It's a shame because it's taking way too long to get interesting things out for it. You know, I've seen images of Dothraki. They look fantastic. Where are they? I've seen images of the Baratheon stuff. They look cool. Where are they? You know, you just can't. I've never known a game system to have such bad supply problems.
Well, yeah, but the weird thing about this kind of game is you're paying for a license.
Yeah.
And those licenses are fine, as happened with Knight Miniatures. Yeah. They had a license for Marvel. Yeah. Until they didn't, because they ran out.
Yeah.
And then they don't have a game.
Yeah.
So you've only got this license for as long as you've got it.
Yeah.
So you need to make hay while the fucking sun is shining, fellas.
I mean,
get the fucking stuff out.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Because what happens in 10 years' time when you lose the license?
Don't know.
Then you can't sell the fucking miniatures anymore.
So at the moment, I'm very much fixed in the place of that. Is like, I'll chase down Rin at some point for another game of Game of Thrones, but I won't get anything more from it. You know, like because. Like, unless it's suddenly got some uptake in the club at all.
It's unlikely, isn't it? The problem is, we're in that golden age of games now, where you literally, there are more games than days.
Well, that's the problem. Well, look at, I'm still going. Flames of War, I really enjoy that as a game system, what it is, as a game.
But you've gone back in time, haven't you? You stuck to third or something. Or...
I'm not yet tried fourth.
Right.
But
you've played the game this year.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, so you went back in time.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not playing a current edition.
No. Adeptus Titanicus is... That's probably the game system I play... I wish I could play more of it, because... But, again, it needs a massive amount of prep before you bring it to the table. You know, it's... but the stuff in it, everything about it is beautiful. Everything about it is lovely. And I do have said the hobby fund, but... I would have this Adeptus Titanicus.
You could spend your money and buy a full size Titan from Forge World.
To do what with?
To look at. That was £1,300, that Titan.
I saw on eBay somebody was selling a £100 handmade Lord of the Rings table, which looked amazing.
Right.
And it was like, that's not expensive for what it is.
Right.
The problem is, it's a 4x4 board. Like, there's no breaking it down. It's like, and you're like, what do you do with it once you've got the thing? You know, I was like, I looked at it and I was like, that does look...
Is it local then?
It would be on the way back from somewhere, which I was going to anyway.
Right.
But I was like, no one's buying this thing, because it's there to be, no one's, But it's like, what would I do with it when I had it? You know, is in, where would I store it?
I often think when you see those custom built tables, they're like, you're surely going to get bored of this table eventually. You'll know every contour on it. You'll know the distance from A to B on every point of this fucking table.
And there is that as well, But it looks fantastic. Like, it, honestly, and it's like, wow, that somebody spent a lot of time creating that. But I've got no space to put a 4x4 table. Where would I do? I can't fit it up in the room.
Oh, we're a 2x2 table.
Yeah, exactly. I got room for a 1x1. So there we go. So that's the game systems that I've been messing around with in 2019. I'm not saying that I'm not willing to try other stuff, of course, like God Tier, for example, but it would need, like, I'm at a point where this will need to knock out something else, you know? Like, one will have to get knocked out.
That's an interesting way of looking at life.
Yeah.
But it's more about the time for me. It's not really about money, because... I don't spend that much on hobby anyway. I'm not like you. You've got fucking new hobby stuff everywhere. There's a new book here, these two new fucking warbands here, this new Italian stuff.
Italian.
But it's just time for me.
Over to you.
I haven't really done that. What have I done this year? Lord of the Rings, mainly. Mm-hmm. bit of Warmaster, yeah. bit of Lord of the Rings. I like the Lord of the Rings. I think that's probably... Last year, was it... We were playing 40K, the shit. Yeah. Was that the year before? Playing the living shit out of that game.
Well, we played
a lot of that game.
Did you really?
Relatively speaking. Okay. Apart from Warmaster, it was my number two game.
Oh, okay, right. Mm-hmm.
Maybe that wasn't even last year.
Yeah.
And this year, it's definitely been Lord of the Rings by a country mile. Mm-hmm. I've probably played more games of that than any game in a while.
I'm surprised you played that many.
I don't always play at the club, though. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Played Eric a few times.
Yeah, fair enough. He's very close to you now, where he lives.
He is. Just mm-hmm. round the corner.
Yeah.
What are you pulling out your feet?
These slippers are well done.
Look at him. Pulling peas out of his arses. But games I've backed. I got Joan of Arc arrived. Hasn't been opened, and I bought in again for the second edition, of course, as you would.
Oh, I don't know why you did that. That was dumb, sir.
I bought some more Memoir 44 expansions that I'll never open.
Yeah, of course. They were just trash the moment you bought it.
The other 12 that just sit in a box, never to be opened. Mm-hmm. I do have a habit of collecting stuff and not really using it.
I've noticed you do that, yeah.
I need to sort that out.
Yeah.
Well, what can you do? What can you
stop
do?
Doing
it. I'm not on the level of our friend Jeff, who really does collect stuff. But
yeah,
it is definitely it's a mental flaw. I think it's something you need to keep under control. I find it hard to sell stuff. I don't know what that is.
What? I don't know why you find that hard to sell.
I don't know. Some people do. I do. I find it hard to sell. I find it easy to buy and hard to sell. Whereas you're brutal.
I sold this, sold that.
Jesus Christ, it's not nailed down, it's sold. I'm surprised you don't have those money chutes in supermarkets.
Right, okay.
Where you put the tube in one end and it comes out the other end.
Uh-huh.
I'm surprised you haven't put one in between here and the post office. So you can just fire your mail down.
That's a good idea. Yeah, thanks.
Six today, love.
Yeah.
It would make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
You can do it.
I need you to come pick me up, alright? I got bit by a fucking disease, dog. God damn it.
Right, so the main topic, we've only fucked around for about fucking 3/4 of an hour. Uh-huh. I'm not used to having Monday nights, and Paul's wife's out. So. We are going to talk about the 2000... whole shop full of them. 2019 year in reviewing.
Yep, that's what I'm trying to just get the most information.
So I'll let you tap away when I talk about the most important.
The problem is Facebook doesn't... Oh, hang on. By most recent, you can filter by.
The most important thing was the Revolution Army book and the compendium. The rule book was released by Alish this year. That is the single most important thing. And we're going to celebrate that fact by printing those bastard books out, and I'm going to put them in my luggage, and we're going to fly them across to Bruno in February and give them out.
Ooh, that's cool.
I think that's probably what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we've probably got... They don't weigh that much, do they, books? 40 books?
No.
Mm-hmm. Nah, I'll put them in my hand luggage. Fuck Ryanair. We've paid enough money. We've got upgraded. So we're gonna. It's gonna be nice to finally have the printed versions in my hand.
All right, that's the best I can do, Barry.
Best we can do. This is the typical Paul.
Yeah.
You don't pay for it anyway. You had six earlier, so it's gonna be.
Listeners, what I was looking for was results for two foreign tournaments. Well, say
out of Swedish.
Swedish tournaments, but I can't
know we
find
won the Swedish.
Well, I've got one, but there was two others as well. Yeah, you're ignorant. There's more than one Swedish tournament.
That's true, sir. That's true.
Yeah, there's more than one Swedish tournament.
Is there?
Yeah. Yeah, and I can't find the results.
What, have you got the one that the Skaven won?
Yes. Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. that was the landmark victory, wasn't it? The one that I claim all the glory for. The guy gave me all the glory. I just saw on Barry's list and won.
Yeah.
On autopilot. I don't even remember giving out a list, but hurrah! So, Revolution Army book and compendium release is the single most important thing that happened this year.
Yeah.
Without any shadow of any doubt. And if you actually go on there, I don't know if you want to, you should see how many downloads there have been.
Oh, is it steady? Is it a lot?
Yeah, it's a fucking lot.
Good.
So worldwide, there are some motherfuckers playing this game. I might not come across them. Somebody, I saw, just on a bit of a tangent, I saw somebody was trying to make one of those gamer maps. You know, like, you log in. I'm a Warmaster gamer.
You can find other gamers on the pin and stuff. Yeah, yeah, it was a good idea.
Stalkers and murderers and rapists.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, it's a good idea. Mm-hmm. What, you put yourself in?
Well, it was hard to find the post again.
That's the thing with fucking Facebook. No. That's why I gave you the homework, because I was busy working today, because I was back on
camera. Well, yeah, and I've done what I can.
So we'll do a bit of great update later on. But basically, I've been fighting with some tendonitis. I've had some acupuncture and shit. And I've taken a little bit of time off, but I got back to the grind today.
To be honest, I missed the trick there, because, like...
What, with the acupuncture?
No, with the acupuncture. That's bullshit.
I'll tell you what, somebody's sticking
you with needles.
Yeah.
But I'll do that for free.
He used, like, the normal needles normally, the small needles.
Right.
20 of them. But today he put 6 fucking big, deep needles in. Oh, they
did that make a difference?
Yeah, they're ragged. Like, you feel him fucking twisting in the tendon
when
you
get him in.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
They're torturing you.
Torture. It was torture.
So you pay someone... You
to put 20 needles in me.
Mate, and he's laughing, isn't he?
He's not laughing. He's like very serious Mr. Miyagi style.
Mr. Miyagi. Fuck him and the horse he rode it on.
It's available on the NHS.
Is it?
Acupuncture.
Yeah.
It's a serious...
Right under treatments.
Serious science.
I'm dubious.
Science. You're dubious of everything.
Yeah.
So, the other important thing that's happening is Christopher Orr's heading up a party to try and get Nippon into some playtest mode.
Yeah.
I think that should be nearly there. I really need to look in on that, because it's been a while since I looked in on that.
It's right here. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, is it? What's the vote looking like?
Let's have a look. Nippon approved the change. Oh,
I don't know.
Sorry.
But that's not it. While Paul's looking at that, I will talk about manufacturers that got in the game this year.
4-0 at the moment.
Wow, it's that busy, is it?
Yeah. It was past 4-0.
Where are you? So Chris is going to put... Maybe I'll put it in the pack for Bruno. I'll print that.
Yeah, soon, you should let people use Nippon.
It's not going into the book, but you can print... You can definitely print it out and use it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Suddenly, that was the thing. Somebody contacted me, recently bought a ticket, Dan K, and he was saying, what's the painting restrictions? You don't fucking painting restrictions. Paint them if you want to paint them. Paint if you want to paint them.
That'd be rich if you said that.
Oh, wouldn't it? Use tokens if you have to, I don't care. And like, he was saying, which of his three armies could he use? I said, well, use whatever you want, because he didn't want to clash with someone else. But it's like, it's a campaign, it's like meant to be totally kind of relaxed. It's like, if it ends up there's 6 orc players, then it'll just be everybody versus the orcs, won't it?
Yeah. The one other player.
We've got more than 6, but you know what I mean. Yeah. I'm going to try and take ogres, for sure.
Okay.
So, people who got in the game this year, Cromarty Forge.
Yeah.
Two fucking rangers.
Two rangers and more.
And more coming, yeah. Warmonger.
Yeah.
He did some more, didn't he do artillery this year?
Yeah, he was like expanding his empire.
He might have even done cavalry this year. Mm-hmm. Dancing Yak, although there's, I'm not sure that's actually reached market yet.
I don't know. No, it hasn't. I think the guy got ill.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Look.
Yeah.
And...
I think so. They didn't, you know.
This is one of the issues that, if we're being honest, when you're doing something, like, you're trying to do something that's kind of beyond what a normal commercial operation would do. So if you go to, like, not slighting any manufacturers here, but if you go to, say, Callista or somebody, how many scopes are you going to get in a unit? Maybe you get, like, 3. Maybe you get 2, whatever. Yeah. You're not paying that much money for them. But all the money's in the fucking sculpting.
Yep.
The production doesn't cost that much, really, for a commercial operation. But, like, someone like Cromarty Forge, holy fucking shit, that's a lot of scopes.
Uh-huh.
And the same with this Dancing Yak, and the same with Warmonger. That's the difference. It's like, so the margins are piss thin. Commercially, you couldn't do this job. So this guy, Dancing Yak, this is not his full-time fucking living.
No.
He's trying to do this on top of living.
Yeah, and he's doing it, like, for the love. Yeah, because he's interested.
Yeah. So like, this is the problem I've got with my Kickstarter a little bit. It's like, even though I kept a lid on it, it's still quite a lot of work for somebody that's only doing like 10 hours a week or something. Because that's what I've got, 10 hours a week of my free time that I can put into doing.
You won't let me help you.
No, you definitely help, because your attitude to stuff is my attitude to stuff don't mesh.
It's
like, yeah, that's near enough. Yeah, they won't complain. Yeah. Whereas I'm a little bit different. So I think when you're a one man band and you get ill, shit can back up real quick.
Yeah.
I feel for Mr. Dancing Yak. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, the stuff looked insane.
It did look good. Yeah.
And I would certainly consider buying it when it goes to retail,
yeah,
for sure.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. And John at Cromarty Forge is just like, fucking, that's nuts, the stuff he's doing.
Yeah, it's just like,
I mean, the problem is, from a selfish point of view, is how fucking inept it makes me look.
No,
because it's a different business model. Like, he is ready to fucking go to market,
to
Kickstarter.
Yeah.
The shit was there, like, the week after it finished Kickstarter.
Yeah, but that's a different way to go about it.
Yeah, that's a complete word. It's like, I'm still waiting for Robbie to finish the fucking sculpting.
If you were as... Oh, well, that's the wrong word, isn't it? If you had the skill set that he had, that he does, then you might have done...
Do it a different way. I don't really have a skill set.
No,
I'm just like a production droid.
Yeah, you're the droid.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, so the idea... I'm doing it the way John's doing it is the way to do it.
Yeah,
the production, even though it's not free, it's not expensive compared to the fucking sculpting and art. Mm. That's where all the real money is.
Yeah.
So the fact that he's ready to go and it's the boom, bang... Send to a production house.
I mean, the credibility of him as his little company now would be massive, because it's like, oh, you remember me? When this backed, it was in people's hands 2 weeks later.
It's like, what? 2 weeks? Shit. Well, the money's only just clearing.
Yeah.
Because it takes like 8 days or 10 days to even clear.
Yeah,
as soon as the money's clear, the fucking merch is in people's hands.
Yeah. When the date is the date said, that is, it's going to be. Well done.
Well done. So I'm looking forward to this next one, because Skaven don't really excite me.
Okay.
Because in my mind, you can only play like the bin lid, and you've got to be willing to just scoop shit off each turn. Whereas I think the undead are, and especially as they're like, you can double use them, undead
double,
and Norse.
Double dip, yep. Mm-hmm.
Undead and Norse, that's a big win.
Yeah, yeah. It's clever.
Very clever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've probably missed other people that have been in the game, because people like Eureka are always putting out
was
stuff.
It this year that individual ogre unit was done,
or the re-sculpt, the additional sculpt,
like the additions,
but I can't find it again on
was it this year?
Yeah, it could have been, but the problem is that you go to Facebook, and how do you ever find any of this shit?
It's difficult. I've done the best I can. You filters and then you just like potluck.
So, and I'm not sure what Polar Fox did this year, if they did anything new.
I don't mean nothing new, as far as I know.
So, at the moment, they got orcs, goblins, and two kings, and some Bretonian fringe stuff.
Yes.
Like
Pegasus
Knights and characters. And they're always good. If you ever... I mean, literally...
I mean,
I don't know how he makes them so fucking good.
Both those ranges, I'd say, are better than GW's. You know, like, they look fantastic. You know, like, if I was buying either of those races from scratch, I would go straight there. I wouldn't go anywhere else. Yeah, I'd just buy them. Mm.
The Orcs and Goblins stuff's mad, isn't it?
Yeah, it's cool. It looks fantastic. Yeah, it's like, okay, this is better than great. Mm.
So again, I haven't met Bell, because it's not that easy to communicate with Bell, because we've been Russian and there's a language barrier. Google Translate. But I assume he's doing his own sculpting, or if not, he's a very talented fella.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm. The fucking stuff's just amazing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so the next big thing is the tournament results from this year.
Yes, yeah.
So there were at least 6 UK tournaments. So was I right with 6?
I've got the results of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 tournaments to talk about here. I haven't managed to find the first Triwizard, the Battle of the Four Armies one. Haven't managed to find the results of that, sadly.
Well, did we go to that?
We did, yes.
And you can't even remember the result?
I can't. Stop.
Does Jim not know it then?
I messaged,
Well, he came back to you. How does he not know the fucking results?
He sent me individual rankings. That's what he tracks. So, like, how you are compared to me. Yeah, like...
I should still be above you, hopefully.
Well, I can talk about that. It's like, he's got a very funny email. Yeah.
We'll do that later, then.
Yeah.
So you haven't even got the Triwizard 1 from March?
No, I looked and I couldn't find it.
Okay, right. So there were 6... I think there were 6 tournaments in the UK.
Yes, there were. Well, because, 7, yeah. 7 because one hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, 7 because one hasn't happened yet. And it happened in 2017, which is the Milton Keynes one, I think.
In 2019.
In 2018, the Milton Keynes one, was it?
Yeah.
December. Mm. Okay. Right, so go on then, what have you got for us?
So, BonesCon.
BonesCon. This was Jan away in his fucking Wood Elves, wasn't
it? 8 players. Then the first player was using Wood Elves, second Norse, and third Dwarves. Yep.
Janice won that one.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but I haven't put the... Because it's more interesting of the races, isn't it? Like, yeah, it's...
Well, I think so. I still know Janice. Oh, well, Janice. Like, and then and the Norse player was the fella that, with the 6 mil stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
I can't remember his name now.
The Spring Tri-Wiz was the Battle of Four Ways. I can... Yeah, I've not been able to find the results.
So is that the one we... Oh, that was the one I got fucking shit, didn't I? Because I was trying to fucking exploit a rule. With skeletons supporting ogres or some bullshit. God damn it.
And my orcs and goblins and goblins do well.
Oh, shit, sir.
Yeah. Warmaster in May in Worcester had 10 players. And
who won that one?
First was a Wood Elf player. Second was Vampire Counts, and third was High Elves.
So I know this one. First was Janice. Second was Steve.
Yep.
And I think third was
Paul.
With High Elves.
North of the Wall, June.
Didn't go.
Then Scotland, 24 players. First was Dwarves, second was Demons, and third was Dark Elves. That was me. I came third. Didn't lose a game, but did not win overall. Then the Warmaster London GT, 12 players.
I thought you did lose the first game on that one.
No. I was
with the Blunderfest.
Or something. Or did I not lose? It was.
Oh, yeah, we'll have to go back out. I'm sure that was the one where you only took. You didn't take your magic item and you. Unit of cold ones.
I can't remember. But, it was a tight first game. Almost an under GT that had 12 players. First was High Elves there, second was Lizardmen, and third was Wood Elves.
So it was Paul, and then me, and then Janice.
Yep, and then the Autumn Tri-Wiz, Saffron Warden, 14 players. First was Orc and Goblins, second was Empire, third was Demons, that was you.
So was the Empire was Ian?
I wasn't there, yeah.
First was fella from...
Was he...
Scotland.
Paul? Paul Ross?
Shit with names. Yeah. The guy who played all the two Wivens and the six.
Two Wivens and six Warboys. I've got the results here of SunCon 2, which was in Sweden at some point in the year. It had 6 players, and the first was Skaven, second was Chaos, and third was Orcs. And then there's 2 other tournaments that did happen internationally. The Swedish Open and the LinCon tournament, but I don't know, they didn't come in the results for them.
We didn't give much time, to be fair. But I didn't give you much time, to be fair. Yeah. So what were the winning races then? Can we go through the 6 that you've got on?
Yeah, totally.
Wood Elves, Wood Elves.
So, Wood Elves, Norse and Dwarves.
So, winners, Wood Elves, Wood Elves.
Wood Elves once, twice, 3 times.
No, winners.
Winners, okay, sorry. Wood Elves twice.
But that's Janna's, so you'd have won with anything.
Dwarves.
Yeah, nice.
High Elves. Orcs and Goblins.
Always good.
And Skaven.
Well, I mean, that's pretty diverse, isn't it?
But context is everything. Now, I wanted to include the number of players there, because to win a 24-player event surely means more than winning a 6-player event. Wouldn't you say?
There's a lot based on scenario.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was Janice taking Wood Elves to that as well? And who the fuck beat him if he didn't win the North of the Wall? Or did he finish 4th? Having not lost or something.
And Janice took Dwarves and won. I know, like...
He didn't win. Yeah.
He came 4th, I think. I can't remember. I don't think it was... Maybe he had a draw in one of the results. Goodness. So... It's a mixed bag of results, I would say. I'd love to know how this Skaven player won 3 games in Sweden with Skaven.
Play well. Just get good, scrub.
Because I can't do that.
I'm not sure you've won 3 games of them ever.
Ever? Like, string 3 games together of Skaven. Can't do that. I guess it shows that any dog can have his day. Because, you know, Orcs and Goblins winning an event. You know, that's happened before. It's happened again this year.
I'm sure.
Interesting. Like, Empire came second in one event, but I've never known Empire to win an event. Maybe that's a thing. Maybe
I think they're quite good Empire. I think maybe I'll give them a go, Empire, because there's nothing inherently wrong with their list.
No,
just a bit weak on the infantry side.
Yeah, exactly. But. Yeah. So. What's your thoughts on that bunch of results there, Barry?
I think it's hard that, you know, Janus did very well with Wood Elves. It was the year of the Wood Elf, but then it doesn't really prove anything because Janus has won with fucking Witch Hunters.
Yes.
He's won with fucking...
It's true.
He's won with everything.
Yeah.
So the fact that Janus wins with Wood Elves doesn't really prove anything apart from Janus is quite good.
Janus is quite good, yeah.
So we'll just leave it at that, that Janus is quite good. I think... it's nice that we had six events. I was talking to the guy.
Well, in 2019, there's actually seven. It's just we were recording ahead of one.
Okay, all right, seven. So I'm definitely my second most important event before even the Trios next year is North of the Wall.
Yeah. I've paid up for that.
I haven't paid up yet, but I'm going to do.
It's only 25 quid.
I'm not worried about the money. It's the time because it's not a one. It's
no,
a two-day
it's
two event.
2 day, yeah.
And it's not a close 2 day event. So that's a minimum of 3 days away.
Yeah.
Realistically, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
Minimum.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, yeah, but I'm sure it can be done.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that is... It, yeah, it's a shame it's falling on the same dates, but that's a no-brainer. I want to go, yeah, like, go where the players are. You know, like, yeah, go to the big player event, and making it 2 days would be fantastic. They'd be like, bring it on.
Bring it on.
Don't know, so what army, what races would you use, you intend to use next year?
It depends. If the demons are done, I'll be Kane demons. Done.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, at some point next year they'll be done, I'll be using demons.
You'll be using demons.
Because the list, the Kickstarter 1 provides everything I would use in a tournament list.
Don't need to worry about Kickstarter 2.
Kickstarter 2 provides some variety and some...
Which I would check.
And you the stuff to fill out the list, because that's what people like, they need to have access to everything. But the Kickstarter 1 would give me everything I want to win games with.
Fair enough.
Yep. And I'm pretty sure you can win games with them. I'm pretty sure... They're as tough as fucking nails.
Oh,
the
yes.
The infantry.
Yeah.
Because they've got the best profile in the game, plus they're immune to fucking terror.
Yeah.
Which is like...
It's not bad.
For points. The only problem is that late game, your stuff starts vanishing. Can't have everything.
Myself, well, looking at what is... I mean, it's more interesting to be there what is not there. Nobutonians, for example, like in amongst all of that, you know... I've been looking at that is a quite a cool painting project to do a Bretonian army, and then like yeah and try
the St. George one.
The St. George, yeah, like off the cross, yeah, like that'd be quite cool. My Dark Elves up there have got some needed like list building options coming.
Some cold ones, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Just a couple more units.
Yeah, so they could be a thing I could play. I could certainly play with. I mean, that's the beauty of it, isn't it? Is that maybe. I should, for every event, take a different race, actually, in 2020. Different army. That'd be quite cool. Yeah.
That would be cool.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still recasting the results. Obviously, in Warmaster, I was like, I came last with Skaven. It's just like, oh my god. Like,
yeah, you don't want too many of those.
Can I bring myself to, like, get ruined again by using my favourite Warhammer race? Yeah, that might be quite a cool thing. I'll mull it over. At the start of 20, I might decide, oh, I'm going to take a different race to every different tournament this year or something. That would be quite cool.
That sounds cool. Mm-hmm. Right, so... So
2020...
You better read Jim's shit out before we move on to 2020.
Oops.
Let's see what fucking madness Jim the Gent's got for us. And he's, oh, what's happening now?
Oh, just the computers being computers. Right, okay. So Jim writes, and he does this individual scoring. Yeah, like of our rank. So
in the Triwiz, the first round is based, there's two pools.
Yeah.
There's the top pool based on your FIFA coefficient, and then there's the second pool. And you only get to play in that pool, so you can't get people... Noob stomping, I guess it would be described. There's none of that shenanigans.
So here we go. Now, this obviously Jim is far better grasp of English than me, so this won't sound right coming from me because it uses a lot of words I don't understand. Right, so Paul, here's the rating story focusing on you, Barry, and Janus. Mythology is to use players'
quartile. Methodology
is to use players' quartile position in UK tournaments. So if you were in the top 25% of the tournament, your score is one.
Right.
If you were in the bottom 25%, your score is 4. I then averaged the scores since January 2016. So a smaller number, the better. And I used data from the current year and the previous 3 years. So next month, the 2016 data will be dropped from the calculations.
That's when you got ruined, isn't it, early on? You'll come up.
That's good. Let's start with Janners. At the start of 2018, his rating was 1.5. And by the end of the year, it increased slightly to 1.4. But it was carrying third quartile results from Saffron in 2015 and Colchester in 2016. His score now at the end of 2019 is 1.2 because he has been 1. The top quarter in 12 of the 14 tournaments he's played in since the start of 2016.
1.2!
Now to Barry. He started and ended 2018 on a score of having 1.8, having a fourth quartile result at the try was of March 2017. The unbeatable Max Silverhelm's list, I think.
Oh, that was bad. Did I finish last with that one?
Exactly. That's why you screwed you. Top half results in 2019 have nudged him up to a 1.7 average. Of course, it wouldn't be a proper episode of War Master Podcast without spending a long time analysing Paul Winter's results. So here we go.
1.7? So what does that mean? I finished top half?
Suggest pass over to Barry to read this. There you go.
Do I? What do I have to read? I've got varifocal glasses. Well, this is not work.
Start there.
Paul started 2018 with an average score of 2.2, which was attributable to consistently bottom half outcomes from early 15 through to early 17. So that means you finish in the third quartile.
Nah.
Can't remember what army he was using, but it clearly wasn't working. Probably Skaven. Yeah. However, by the end of 2018, if we ignore another crash landing at Daventry... Oh, that was the fucking Skaven again?
Yeah.
He managed 5 top quartile results in a row and has pushed his score to 2.0, which was still, however, behind Barry. And sadly, 2019 has seen some slippage. Bottom quartile results in Saffron, Walden and Worcester have outweighed a top quarter position in Falkirk. Net result is a rating of 2.1.
In terms of UK tournament rankings, if we exclude those who have played less than 4 tournaments, the results from those with a score of less than 2.0 are 1.9 for Geoffrey Pennington, 1.7 for Jim Beach, Stuart Blyving, Barry Pittman, Ian Standing, 1.6 for Donald McCallum, 1.2 for Alex Janoway.
1.2!
So Janoway's is way out in front, with Donald the closest pursuer, the main pack just behind him, and amazingly, Jeff and his goblins just behind them. Imagine for a moment a world where Jeff played High Elves.
Yeah. Be good, wouldn't it?
Here endeth the scores on the doors, Jim. So, I like that you have to play 4 tournaments.
Oh, so
that's
you
that's a really good feature.
With 2.1?
I'm 2.1.
Oh,
placeman.
No, that puts you between 26% and 50%.
Yes.
So yeah. That's still pretty good in the top half.
Yeah.
So the people above 2 and less than 1, they're in the top quarter. So if there was only 8 players in the event, you'd have to finish first or second to keep it up.
Yeah. I mean, I do really like the fact that you have to play 4 tournaments at least to get the results. Because that then stops, like, that person who wins an event and never plays in anything else all year and, like, having an officially high thing. That is cool.
Very Jim.
It's going to take a long time to catch Janus then, isn't it?
Well, Janus stops playing and then eventually he'll drift away, I guess.
Yeah.
He's very good though, isn't he, Janus? You can't fucking moan about it too much. It's like, what do you want to do? Just get better.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Just get better. Right, so in 2020, what are you looking to do, sir, apart from be self-funded, which you already are?
Which I already am. So in War Master, there's a good result, good events coming up. Some big, you know, there's your BarryCon in coming up in February.
You can't really win that. You,
no,
you,
no, no,
you
I'm
can
saying,
win,
saying,
but it's,
saying attending it.
Yeah, that would be nice. Yeah.
Attending it.
Like, you've
I'm
already paid.
No, I don't think... is it even in a tournament? Like, I don't
know. No, it's a campaign. I'm sure there will be a winner.
Yeah, I've got those, really.
There'll probably be Janus.
Yeah.
No, he's not going.
Okay.
Oh, it's all up for grabs.
Yeah. Then there's also North of the Wall in Scotland, which will be awesome as a 2-day event. So they're the highlights, like, they're, to me. Like attending those 2 events, and also not having to run an event, which would be cool. Because I ran 2 events.
You've got none this year, haven't you?
Yeah, I haven't got. Yeah, I ran 2 events in 2019, and it'd be nice not to have to run an event because.
Well, it also means you don't have to do all your fucking begging, do you? Because you haven't got any events. Hang on, but I need. What am I going to do with the KR sponsorship this year?
Well,
I'll have to take it to fucking the J Czech Republic, won't I?
But well, you'd have to think about that, and if you need me to...
Well, we'll have to do something, won't we? We've got to get our sponsorship. So, we'll have to take it with us. Can't use it. How are we going to get that in?
I don't know where you need to think. You need to mull it over. You need to think about it. You know, because it's not as just simple as getting the stuff, isn't it? It's then getting it there.
Maybe I'll have to post stuff over. I don't know how expensive that is.
God knows, really.
Oh, I'll have to think about that. Okay. Well, right. So.
But yeah, and then there's other like small, and then there's other single day UK events which obviously I'd like to attend. But yeah, I'm quite liking the idea of taking something different each time this year. That would be quite cool because that would rotate the shelf space, like the use of some stuff up here that I haven't used in a while as well. Yeah. Good idea.
All right, my 2020 is going to be get the Kickstarter finished, obviously, because got to get done.
Yeah.
And then get the second wave done. Whether or not that's a Kickstarter or not, I'm not sure yet. May well be a Kickstarter, may just be a release to retail them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see. Mm-hmm. And then I've got a nice thing here for Bruno.
Yeah, it's lovely.
So we've got a what would you call it? A brake tracker?
Game tracker. Yeah.
So it tracks the brake for both players. It also has a little space for the half points.
Yep.
We've got some little dice.
Lovely.
So that's part of the little pack. And you don't get six dice, unfortunately. You only get two.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You can buy more, I guess.
Yeah.
Because, so Bruno's going to be good. You not running event? That's going to be interesting for you.
Yeah. So I'm going to love that. Yeah. Because,
what are you going to do with Winter Roller 2019, 2020?
Well, still think about it, mull it over. But it's like, you can only truly criticise something unless you, have a go at, doing the thing you're criticising, I think.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
So it's like, I'll be biased, but, the point of me writing a tournament pack is, I wouldn't write what I thought was the worst tournament pack, I'd write what I think is the best tournament pack. You know, and that's my, there you go. This is how I would run it. This is what I would use to run a tournament. Now, I might not be running a tournament in 2020, but I mean, it's still that is the.
You're going to type it up then this year. You're going to get it typed up and ready with the corrections from the.
Yeah.
I mean, I think. And then put it out.
Yeah.
Put it out.
I've already done that.
Put it out for people to see.
Yeah. Well, of course. Yeah. Yeah. I would definitely do that regardless. Let's just have a quick look. Oh, that's the wrong thing. Barry, say something on the tape.
I'm going to say something. So I'm going to say that we're going to do a Black Egg advert after this, and then we're going to talk about the Euro GT, and then we're finished.
Okay.
So, Winter Roller 2020. It's because you had to sort out the scoring, didn't you? Because some of the games were a bit too wham bam thank you, ma'am.
Yeah.
Like the game I had against Janus, which came down to me. Getting one order off, and then he couldn't get past me.
Oh, that's where it is then.
He's hidden away.
Yeah, I've done 2020 already.
Yeah, but have you put it out?
I don't know.
See, that's what I'm saying. It's all right, it's on here.
Well, then I'll do it again. Then I'll put it out again.
Then you have to put it out.
Well, yeah, but I'll do it at the start of 2020. Well,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's nearly there, so we're only a few weeks away from, say, 2020.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So have you changed the scoring?
Yes, I have, yeah. So we messed around with the scoring for... the take and hold. Yeah. 4-0-1-3 was like, that was got so you don't get any points for holding the objective that's closest to you.
And what about the Tower of Power?
And the Tower of Power, changed that to 2 points a turn for holding it, and then 1. Yeah, so that's gone less than down as well. So you'd have to hold it. If the enemy's at least close to the tower, it's going to take them 5 turns to hold the thing.
Okay. Well, I might need to test it a time or two. Mm-hmm. Cool. What?
And I've also included a new scenario. Traitors.
Oh, traitors. Got to, oh, this sounds bad. If you blunder, they turn card.
I love it. So it's a pitch battle, but you don't have the normal blunder rule. Instead, if you roll a blunder, one unit from a brigade...
Your choice or random?
Random. ...is going over to the enemy.
So you could have a unit at the front and the unit in support both traitors, stabs him in the back.
Exactly. Yeah. And then, so this is the whole scenario. Is the game removes the normal blunder rule. If a character rolls a double six for an order...
Is this one of Jim's ideas?
It's my idea. Oh, yeah. Okay. In addition to failing that order, select one of the units ordered roll randomly in a brigade, then the selected unit is now considered part of the enemy army and is assumed to have received a successful order, which the opponent moves immediately. The traitor unit reduces the break of the army and it is left, and adds to the break of the army it joins.
Yowzers.
Yeah.
That's random.
Cool. Well, so you say you've got a brigade of four things and you blundered. Oh, one of them is 1, 2, 3, 4. One of them's gone traitor. Yowzers. And so
they have to fight then.
Well,
I'll have to
think about the mechanics. So I think I'll add a bit more to this, where just say you might need to artificially space 1 centimeter distance, and then it's still you have the turn hasn't ended. If the turn hasn't ended for the opponent, I have to think about how it works mechanic wise. Because
it's your turn, isn't it? So you've now got an enemy touching your models in your turn.
Yeah. So I think what'll have to be then, I'll have to reword this, is that. Say you've rolled the blunder.
I have.
I've got one of your units.
You do.
So then in my turn, I can order that unit.
Yeah, but it's still my turn.
No. So obviously what happens in a blunder is that character can't issue any more orders.
Yeah.
So if it was your general, then it's the turnover anyway. But if it's...
I'm not sure it's a blunder, if it's general.
Well, I might put in there the general can do this.
But what I'm saying is then, in my turn, you've got a unit touching my stuff. And they're going to fight in the fight phase.
I mean, that's what I'll have to think about, like, mechanics-wise, how it works. It might have to be that it doesn't automatically... It artificially creates a space.
Well, it would have to, otherwise it would fight.
Yeah, and then... So it might allow you to attack that unit with another character.
Yeah, you'd have to, wouldn't you? You say, they've gone rogue.
They've gone rogue.
Write them down.
Kill them.
Yeah, I quite like that bit. Yeah. So they've got to push away.
Yeah, so it needs some addition into it, but yeah.
Test it out.
I'd love to, but it's like you test it out by putting it out there and finding
out. Put it on the film. What could possibly go wrong?
So that increases winter roller for 5 scenarios.
The weather's actually not that bad at the moment. It was a lot worse in November, weather-wise, cold-wise.
All right, okay.
The garage isn't that bad at the moment. Mm-hmm. I've said that, and it'll freeze again next week.
Yeah, but this would be a cool one to have on the on a YouTube.
Yeah, it's all right. Put it out.
You seen those 10mm ogres, man? I gotta get me some of those sweet ass 10mm ogres, man. I could brother up, man, I'm jonesing.
Quit your jibber jabber, fool, and get yourself to blackgateminiatures.com. That's blackgateminiatures.com.
Euro GT update. We've got 8 players, mm-hmm. plus me. Which is definitely enough to run a campaign, because you're not going to play the same player more than once. And there's still a couple of months left to go.
Uh-huh.
The prize kit's coming together, so you will get your game tracker, which we've discussed.
Nice.
You'll get your dice. You will get the Slayer on the dragon head, which you can pretend smoke if you want. I don't care. He's dead now. Cut his head off. You'll get a printed set of books, and I think John from Comedy 4 said he was going to send some stuff down.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
We've got to get all this stuff out there, though. Isn't it? Maybe I should ship the books, because I think the books are going to weigh a fucking ton if we're taking everything else out. So if people are interested, just get in touch with me on Warmaster Facebook page. That's probably the easiest page
Just a question about the podcast. Campaign.
Oh, you've been reading now, have you?
Yeah, just now.
Just now, obviously.
So it's half a map, which I get that. Like,
Alice has provided the map.
So, but how do you make sure? How does everyone play when they're supposed to play? Like, what if... Like, how can you make it that they are playing a game?
Well, we just do make it that they're playing a game. So it may not be you're geographically next to each
other. Oh, okay.
So it's like some form of raiding park or something.
Got it.
Because obviously, if I think you have to challenge a neighbour, I think.
Here we go, challenge phase. Issue challenge to another player, starting with a player with the smallest empire.
Yeah.
The challenger...
That'll be you.
The challenger and the player must fight a Warmaster battle in the battle phase. A player who's been challenged cannot issue a challenge that round. His army's already committed to battle.
Of course it is, yeah.
So surely you need an even number of players for this tournament.
Well, that's what I'm there for.
Ah, got it, yeah. Forming a team. A player can challenge a player who has already been challenged to a battle.
Yeah.
A player who has been challenged can choose either to fight one battle against all the challengers, see team battles, or he can choose to fight a series of individual one-to-one battles.
No, we're not doing that.
Yeah,
it'll be one mass battle.
One mass battle.
So everybody on Janus, like 17 of us.
What, like, points-wise?
Oh, it's not even
same,
that, is he?
Points-wise even?
Oh, no, I think you have to play with half armies.
Yeah.
Mm.
Breaking up a team. A player can challenge a player who's been already part of a team, and that will break them up. Okay.
So say me, you challenge Jim.
Yep.
And then I jump in on Jim, and I think that somebody else can jump in on Jim's side and pull one of us off.
Oh, I see. So, and in the team battle, it's even points. It's not uneven points.
So yeah, so Jim would have 2,000, we'd have 1,000 each. Mm. Which is probably not worth doing, because by the time you've paid for your leadership, you've got less troops.
Yeah, you're making yourself weaker. Mm. Yeah, that's cool.
There's lots of good rules in there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's worth sitting down and reading.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you'll know what's going on. And it will be a good event. And it's going to be cheap.
Mm.
It's going to be Czech. We're going to meet the creator, Alish.
I'm really intrigued, yeah, definitely.
We're going to meet Christina.
They say don't meet your heroes.
Yeah, they do say that, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Right, so... this is the last podcast probably of 2020. But the next one we're going to 2019. The next one we're going to do is probably your review of your tournament.
Oh,
in Milton Keynes.
Oh, you're not coming to that one?
For now, we'll see. Mm. I still haven't committed, so that's not looking good.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I've committed to the one on the 7th.
Yeah.
Because I'm borrowing Chris's Roman army. Although that is, I think, the Roman army, by how loath people are to use them, should send warnings. Because everybody's like... Everybody knows Romans. Everybody knows what Romans are. Everybody's kind of fantasised about
all
being
Romans.
All
roads lead to Rome.
They do. And yet nobody wants to use them.
Yeah.
So for me and you, both playing,
Skipping
Rome. So we'll have that. I think it'll be quite a good battle, Rome on Rome.
Yeah.
I think just Rome against 240 million warbands.
Yeah, that ain't good. That is so good.
Might not prove so good.
Yeah, too many of them.
Too many of them. Yeah, so that'll be good. We're doing that on the 7th, so we'll try and record one between Milton Keynes and the 7th. They're not doing a Warmaster World this week, are we? They're Warhammer World this year, I guess.
There's talk about it on one of the WhatsApp groups, so wait and see.
Okay. And so all that's left is to wish everybody a happy Christmas and a...
Yes, Merry Christmas.
Successful and a healthy and a happy 2020.
Exactly.
May Santa bring you lots of Warmaster stuff.
Would you like to know more?